This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Bob McGinnis, and he joins me now to talk about the horrific shootings on Thursday at the Fort Hood Army Base in Texas. And Colonel, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Greg.
You've obviously had a distinguished career in the U.S. Army. When you hear about something like this on an Army base, what's the first thing that comes to your mind, as it's obviously the worst shooting of its kind in American history?
Well, clearly it's horror and tragic circumstance. I can sense, having been in circumstances like that, where the community really comes together, recognizing its terrible wounds and the hurts that everyone shares. Unlike anywhere else in the nation, the military community is very close-knit and takes care of its own. So this was a terrible incident, but we will recover. We will go through the mourning process. But keep in mind, you know, this is the home for the 1st Cavalry Division, the 4th Infantry Division, units that have rotated in and out of Afghanistan and Iraq since 2001. These families, these soldiers, know combat, and they've no loss. And the last thing, of course, they expected was to come home and put down their arms, embrace their families, and then face this terrible circumstance that clearly had an impact and will for many years to come.
Is it possible, given the size of the military and even the size of this installation, to really prevent something like this from ever happening?
Well, this is an anomaly, and it is very difficult to happen. We need, of course, chains of command everywhere to be very attentive to the individuals that they have, where you see markers that indicate behavior changes that may be hostile to not only other soldiers, but to the best interests of mission and country, then the chain of command needs to take action. Now, there's evidence that the chain of command, Walter Reed, for this Major Hassan, had taken some preliminary action by giving him an adverse efficiency report, and then they transferred him. But at Fort Hood, in spite of a lot of indicators, it seems as if they hadn't as yet taken the necessary action, in spite of the fact that we're told that perhaps some blogs on the Internet associated to his name — it may not be his name, but associated with a name identical to his — bring out some pretty radical thoughts. So if all that proves true, then we missed the boat here. But this is one example of millions that serve in our armed forces today.
Colonel, you mentioned that the military community will rally around its own. Describe that process. You mentioned it's a more close-knit community than most traditional communities you'd see around the country.
Well, certainly we have a hospital there at Fort Hood. Most, not all, went to that hospital. Will there be visited by their chains of command, fellow soldiers, and other family members? They'll get the best of care, as will the soldiers that have been evacuated to other medical facilities. Families that will be provided meals. Their neighbors will embrace them and comfort them as they go through a grieving process, should their soldier have been killed, or through just the recovery process. We do absolutely everything we can to comfort them. There'll be a community-wide religious service of sorts, where there'll be people that will, once again, share in the common period of grief and mourning. They won't let it get them down. They'll recognize that tragedy is part of military life, and we live to prevent that. But when it occurs, we face it down, and we deal with it, and then we move on. It's just part and parcel of what we do.
Colonel, one issue that some have been reluctant to talk about — you alluded to it a little bit in your previous response about his possible participation in some radical websites — and that's the fact that he may have been radicalized. There are reports out there that he was shouting the Islamic term for Allah is great as he carried out these shootings. What can you tell us about the potential infiltration of radicalism inside the military itself?
You always have the potential for people that share out-of-the-norm views to get into a large organization like the military. They can feign ignorance, they can, keep it to themselves, and they get in. And then, if not carefully monitored, then, clearly they can allow that to bloom, and it gets out of hand. Now, most of those people are picked up by the chains of command. They are dismissed from the military. And if they do something that's illegal, then the legal system kicks in and we take care of them. But it doesn't mean that we are impermeable. We certainly are, just like any organization, but we're a pretty tight organization. And I want to make it very clear, Greg, that we have many, many thousands of patriotic, serving Muslim people. One instance of this sort of conduct should not be used as a paintbrush to paint all of them, because we have imams that are part of the chaplain's corps. We have young men and women that happen to be Muslim that serve in Afghanistan with our U.S. military as well as Iraq and serve valiantly across the entire world. So I just want to be careful about, drawing any premature conclusions as yet.
Colonel, well stated as always, and of course we're filling in more gaps in this horrific story as time goes on, and we'll keep monitoring it. Thank you very much as always for your time, sir.
Thank you.
Retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Bob McGinnis, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.